What's going on? Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. It is heard live every day from noon to 3 on WBT Radio in Charlotte. And if you want exclusive content, like invitations to events, the weekly live stream, my daily show prep with all the links, become a patron. Go to thepetecallinershow.com. Make sure you hit the subscribe button. Get every episode for free right to your smartphone or tablet. And again, thank you so much for your support.
Six people still unaccounted for after that bridge in Baltimore collapsed. There's one person hospitalized. Apparently, the shipping container, which was named Dolly, not D-O-L-L-Y, but D-A-L-I, I think. I'm not sure, but had apparently experienced a bunch of mechanical and electrical problems. It was going turning on and off, and then it hit the support structure of the Francis Scott Key Bridge, named after the guy who wrote the Star Spangled Banner, which is prompting a lot of people to speculate that when they go to rebuild the bridge, not only will it take a very long time, but it's probably going to have to get renamed because Francis Scott Key will be problematic. But it could have been a lot worse. Apparently, the crew was able to radio to shore and tell people at, you know, to shut down the bridge, I believe. I've seen a report that it could have been worse had that not occurred. But yeah, I mean, it's an awful, awful story. And if you are like me and you've already seen some of the speculation as to how this could have happened, a couple things I always point out in these types of situations, right? Give it 24 hours. We'll know a lot more in 24 hours. Also, beware of people who pretend to know all of the details and why it really happened. And I was thinking about this. The conspiracy theories that get generated in the immediate aftermath of something like this. And I don't want to go down the rabbit hole too far on this stuff. But I suspect it has something to do with the, oh my gosh, I can't believe that thing happened response. That, like, all right. So in talk radio land, as a host, one of the questions that you can ask yourself or one of the lead-ins to a topic, if you are trying to figure out, is a particular topic a good talk topic, right? Especially if you're trying to do a caller-driven topic. There are certain formulas that exist. And one of them is the, hey, did you hear formula? And what does that mean? It's not really even a formula. It's just a lead-in. It's a pitch. Hey, did you hear about this bridge that collapsed? Right? So it's a way that most people talk to each other normally in our conversations that we say, oh my gosh, did you hear about this thing that happened? Oh yeah, I did. Oh, that's crazy. And that's how people start talking about stuff. So use that in order to generate reaction and calls and that sort of stuff. But because that's the way we communicate with each other, it's always a reactive kind of stance, right? And so if I've heard about something and I ask you, hey, did you hear about this thing? And you say no, then I'm telling you and it makes you feel like, oh, you didn't know this thing. And so then I wonder like, okay, so is it that people want to be able to make these sorts of predictions so as to say, after a thing happens, I did know this thing. In fact, I predicted it way earlier. It's the sort of a one-upsmanship kind of a thing. And we all know people that are like this, right? They're the kind of person like, oh, I killed this deer while hunting. And they're like, oh, I killed two. You know, they're always like a one-upsmanship. And so I wonder if it starts there with this desire to not be sort of reacting, but also to be in the know, to say, oh, of course I knew about that thing, and I knew about it before you did. And then you've got to take that, because after a while, right, it's like anything else, any other kind of like addiction or something, right? You gotta keep pushing, right? You gotta keep injecting more and more in order to get the same high. And so I wonder, does it get to the point where then it's okay? Now it's not just, I predicted this thing. Now the prediction has to be connected to all sorts of explanations and reasons that you know, that you're aware of. And then you promote these things so you can say that when this thing happened, you can say, I told you that was going to happen. I knew this was going to happen, and this is who's responsible and all this other stuff, which it's usually interesting. I saw nobody predicting that this was going to happen, right? But there will be a lot of people now after the fact that they will say that they knew something like this was going to happen. You won't find any evidence that they warned anybody about it, just that something was going to happen. I think something's going to happen. And then an explanation that usually ends up blaming the Jewish people for some reason. But, right, yeah, I don't know. That's according to the interweb this week, like, this is what it's all about. Man, I've been listening. You know what Twitter Spaces is? This is their, conference call kind of platform. So Twitter has this thing they call Spaces, and you can invite people in, and they all, have a conversation. Everybody talks, and it's all just via Twitter. And I was listening to one, I guess it was last night. Have you noticed there's been this trend on Twitter and maybe other social media as well, and maybe you've seen some of it on Facebook, or maybe you've seen it, this Christ is King trending topic? Have you seen this? Yeah. So I've been listening to this hour and a half so far of a 3 hour plus discussion about this. Gosh, man, we're in trouble, because it's not what you think it is. When I first started reading some of the reaction, like James Lindsay, who's an atheist, and he's saying, hey, if you're running around on social media saying Christ is King, like, just be aware that's an op being run. It's an op being run by Nick Fuentes, this anti-Semite Nazi guy, whatever, right? Right wing groiper, whatever. Like, there's this whole group, this whole wing that's out there, and it's like, man. So anyway, I was like, surely this is not legit, that there's this Christ is King, this is an op that's being run. Because, like, you know, as a Christian, I've said this, I've heard it, we sing about it. It's like that, yeah, okay. But no. It's been now weaponized, and now it's being used by the Christian nationalists against Jews. And they're like, but we're totally not using it against Jews. It's okay, whatever. So I've been listening to, so apparently this is all connected, I think, right? Also, I have been amazed at how many structural engineers there are on social media. I did not realize how many people were experts in not just navigation of the shipping containers through harbors, but also structural engineering of bridges. It may, though, to be fair, it may have been a part of the degree program offered with the deep water submersible Russia-Ukraine history degrees that were being handed out. I don't know. It was a very popular degree program, not to be confused with the spy balloon program. That was a different program. A lot of experts out there. Hello, Tina. Welcome to the show. What's up, Tina?
Hey, I just wanted to let you know, I was just watching Spectrum News, and they were talking about the bridge and showing the footage and all that other stuff. But the authorities did come on and say that the ship itself had notified authorities that they were having issues.
Yeah.
And there was a chance that they were going to hit the bridge.
Right.
So they did, authorities did get people there on both sides of the bridge to stop traffic from flowing. So it could have really been catastrophic.
Yeah, and especially if it had occurred also during rush hour commute and all of that, yeah, it could have been way, way worse. Thank you. Yeah, Tina, I appreciate the call. Thank you. Thanks for the confirmation on that. I did believe I had heard that. I appreciate that.
All right, it is tourney time, and it's also a good time to check out DraftKings Sportsbook, which is now live in North Carolina. You can legally bet on all of your favorite sports anytime, anywhere in the state with DraftKings, an official sports betting partner of NASCAR. You watching the basketball tournament games? Make bets as you watch and get fast and easy payouts. DraftKings has tons of the best features like parlays for multiple games, player props, which focus on an individual player and their performance within a specific game. Also, social betting groups where you can share your bets with your friends in real time. I have a special promo for you as well. You download the DraftKings Sportsbook app on your phone or tablet and use the code PETE, P-E-T-E. You bet $5 and you get $200 instantly in bonus bets only on DraftKings Sportsbook with code PETE. The crown is yours, king or queen. But this is a limited-time offer, so take advantage. Gambling problem? Call 877-718-5543 or visit morethanagame.nc.gov. 21+, North Carolina only. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. Deposit and eligibility restrictions apply. Terms are at DraftKings.com/sportsbook/NC. Also, NASCAR is not a sponsor of this promotion and is used under license.
Got a Pete tweet. Jeff says, Pete, I am glad that Tina was able to call in and confirm the information you told us. Now your credibility is safe. Yes, I agree. Scott says, we have some amazing structural engineering and construction firms in the city of Charlotte. Perhaps you could invite some of these professionals on air to discuss not only how the bridge collapse happened, but also how new design features may prevent it in the future. Well, sir, Scott, that's what I have Twitter for. For example, modern bridges deal with vessel collision two ways. The first is to use a dolphin, not the animal. No, this is a mass of rock, sand, and steel that serves to stop the vessel before it makes contact with the bridge. Likely, the new bridge replacement will use a dolphin as one method. The second is to design the bridge to take the vessel strike and resist the event. This is a massive undertaking with a central focus. Don't collapse. We will see localized failures, but maintain global stability. This load could be well over 3 million pounds. To resist that much load to stop a vessel, we need a flexible bridge and a lot of foundations like piling or drilled shafts. Typically, this is more foundation needed than to simply resist earthquakes, hurricanes, and everyday loads. So, where do we go from here? Well, Baltimore is going to be without a critical bridge for a long time. Tampa's Skyway Bridge took 7 years, but this will be done sooner, hopefully much sooner. What needs to be done? Well, a lot. Can the approach spans be salvaged? The approach spans are likely fine, but are they tall enough to support the new main span? Does the bridge... Okay. So that's why we don't bring on bridge architects to talk about structural engineering. Look, I know it's a fascinating thing for people in a circumstance like this for a minute. But it's, yeah, it's like, okay. I mean, I think the reason why the bridge collapsed was because a really big boat hit it, you know? Just plowed into the thing and knocked over the one, that one post, the one support structure, and it hit that thing. And when it hit that one support structure, well, then the rest of the bridge falls down with that support structure because that support structure is supporting all the rest of that bridge. So when the support structure falls, all the rest of the bridge falls. So that's my guess. But I just, you know, I'm just spitballing here. I just saw it on the video, and so I assume that's what happened. Another prediction. This is from Terry, who says the Francis Scott Key Bridge will be rebuilt but renamed. Scott Key is too closely associated with the founding. Somebody will dig up some connection to slavery. Well, I mean, it's not even a connection to slavery. I think if you just like read some of the other verses in the song, I think some of them are problematic. So, yeah. I don't think they're going to call it the Francis Scott Key Bridge again, but who knows, you know, I don't know. I don't want to predict that, but it's Baltimore. So I feel pretty confident if I were to predict it, that would be my prediction too.
Okay. If you're listening to this podcast, you are obviously paying attention to the world around us. You also have really great taste, I might add. But if you haven't started getting prepared for various emergencies, I gotta ask, what are you waiting for? Please call my friends Bill and Jan at Carolina Readiness Supply, and they'll help get you started. If you have no idea how to start, they can help you. If you're an experienced prepper, they can help you too. Being prepared is just smart. We've already established that you're smart. I mean, you listen to this podcast after all. So let's put those smarts into action. Go to CarolinaReadiness.com. That's CarolinaReadiness.com or call them at 828-226-7239. Carolina Readiness Supply has 2,000 square feet of supplies as well as educational materials that you're going to need for any kind of emergency. Veteran-owned Carolina Readiness Supply. Will you be ready when the lights go out? Email is Pete at the PeteCaliner Show.com and on Twitter at Pete Caliner. Where James says, other verses of Francis Scott Key's poem are not really problematic. The left just claim they are. Okay. people believe that the bridge, once rebuilt, will be renamed as well. We shall see. Let me give from the bridge collapse to NBC's collapse, or their meltdown, I guess it's not really a full-on collapse yet, but maybe it's indicative. All right, so they hired Ronna McDaniel, right, the RNC chief, and this has just been hilarious because the on-air talent, I use the term lightly, the on-air talent over there, they are just having a meltdown over this hiring. They're really, really upset. And in case you hadn't seen or heard, I believe his name is F. Chuck Todd. Because that's that Rush used to call him that all the time. So that's his name. He was on Meet the Press. So he used to be the host of Meet the Press. He then was replaced. He sort of retired out. Not really sure what happened there. But what's her name? Kristen Welker replaced him. I don't watch any of these shows anymore. I used to watch all the Sunday shows. I don't watch any of them anymore. It's been years. But he rejoins Kristen Welker on Meet the Press with a roundtable there where he bashes NBC News for hiring Ronna McDaniel. Here's what he said.
Let me deal with the elephant in the room.
Yeah. Do it.
I think our bosses owe you an apology for putting you in this situation because I don't know what to believe. She is now a paid contributor by NBC News. So I have no idea whether any answer she gave to you was because she didn't want to mess up her contract. Mm. She wants us to believe that she was speaking for the RNC when the RNC was paying for it. So she has credibility issues that she still has to deal with.
Yeah.
Is she speaking for herself or is she speaking on behalf of who's paying her? But once at the RNC, she did say that, hey, I'm speaking for the party. I get that. That's part of the job.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
What about here? I will say this. I think your interview did a good job of exposing, I think, many of the contradictions. And look, there's a reason why there's a lot of journalists at NBC News uncomfortable with this because many of our professional dealings with the RNC over the last 6 years have been met with gaslighting, have been met with character assassination. So it is, that's where you begin here. And so when NBC made the decision to give her NBC News' credibility, you got to ask yourself, what does she bring NBC News? And when we make deals like this, and I've been at this company a long time, you're doing it for access. Access to audience. Sometimes it's access to an individual. Mm-hmm. And we can have a journalistic ethics debate about that. And I'm willing to have that debate.
Mm-hmm.
And if you told me we were hiring her as a technical advisor to the Republican convention, I think that would be certainly defensible.
Mm-hmm.
If you told me we're talking to her, but let's see how she does in some interviews and maybe vet her with actual journalists inside the network, see if it's a two-way, what she can bring the network. So I do think,
what are you even talking about?
This interview is always going to be looked through the prism of who is she speaking for, right? I think you did everything you could do. You got put into an impossible situation booking this interview, and then all of a sudden the rugs pull out from under you. You find out she's being paid to show up. It's unfortunate for this program, but I am glad you did the best that you could, and that's why the three of us are on here to try to bolster that editorial independence.
What?
Okay, so what he's saying there at the end is that Kristen Welker was not aware when she had Ronna McDaniel booked to come on the show that Ronna McDaniel had been hired as a contractor, and so the interview that she does is a tough interview, and Ronald McDaniel was kind of ticked off a little bit that that this was a tough interview. He or she thought she was showing up to be welcomed as the latest contributor. Now, Chuck Todd takes to Twitter shortly after this these comments, and he says, "The issue isn't about ideology, it's about basic truth. Those trying to make this a left-right issue are being intentionally dishonest. This is about whether honest journalists..."
Sorry.
Oh, sorry. It's just... It's just kind of... I threw up a little bit in my mouth. This is about whether honest journalists... honest journalists are supposed to lend their credibility to somebody who intentionally tried to ruin ours. Come now, Chuck. You ruined your own credibility, sir. By the way, Chuck Todd, just for the record, in case you were not aware, Chuck Todd, 1992, Tom Harkin's presidential campaign operative. Democrat for the White House, Chuck Todd worked on his campaign, was an operative for his... Oh, and by the way, his wife is also a Democrat political operative. That's Chuck Todd. But he wants you to believe that hiring Ronald McDaniel is somehow beyond the pale. Peter Spiliakos, he's a former columnist with First Things, firstthings.com. He says Chuck Todd is making a fraudulent procedural argument, right? This whole idea that NBC should have checked with us and we could have vetted her and the journalists and all that. Because like, that's been one of the common points in all of the reporting I've seen on this so far, is that all of the NBC people are upset because they weren't consulted, which is like, oh, I'm sorry, are you management? Never mistake the talent for the platform. Two different things, people. Okay. But he's making this fraudulent procedural argument to cover for a substantive argument that cannot be made explicitly by him. The procedural argument is that campaign flacks commenting on their ex-employers are inherently compromised. Okay. Now, explain this one to me then. Jen Psaki has a show at MSNBC, and she was hired. She was in contract negotiations with NBC for that gig while she was still the comms gal for the White House, for Joe Biden. So if you're trying to make the argument that these people are inherently compromised, why did you give Jen Psaki a job? There are others. There's a whole lot of others. Here's another Pete tweet from It's All a Distraction. Quote, "I am sure Chuck Todd needed to leave his show so there could be a female person of color as host." That's possible. I don't know. I mean, he had done the show for over a decade, I want to say. So there's only so much steak you can eat. There's only so much money you could make, right? I don't know why he left. And it doesn't really matter. I remember hearing like, oh yeah, he left. So I was like, oh, okay. I guess, I don't know. Is Pat McCrory still available? Does he still go on the Meet the Press if Chuck is not there? Cause I know he and Chuck Todd were friendly, and that's how like they went on each other's shows and stuff, which by the way, there's a connection here, which I don't know if Pat, I need to ask him. I should just ask him like, does he still do Meet the Press? Because Ronald McDaniel, I am in the wrong line of work. Ronald McDaniel, do you know what they're paying her as an NBC contributor? What do you think? Here, let's throw it out. Let's throw it open here to the two gentlemen in the room. We've got Tommy and John, not related to the surgery. But Tommy, what do you think a contributor gig at NBC would run her?
Oh, God.
What do you think it runs? What do you think she's pulling down for that?
$500,000 a year. I don't know.
All right, John. It's Price is Right rules, by the way. Closest without going over. All right, John.
I'd say $500,000 plus $1.
Oh, I see what you did there.
Lame.
Actually, $300,000.
Okay, so we were
both
over.
Went
we
over.
Were over.
You both went over. Right. It would have been far funnier, I think, if you guys had both said like $1,000 or something, but... Apparently, I am the one that is not really up to speed on the amount of money that these types of gigs can make. $300,000 a year to be a contributor. Like, I'll just be a sometimes commenter for half of that amount. I won't even need to be a full-time contributor. Like, you don't even have to, I mean, unless you want me to be a contributor, I am a bit of a workaholic. I'll give you a whole bunch of stuff. You don't even have to use it or attribute it to me. You just want to pay me $300K, totally fine. But NBC, apparently, according to the stories, NBC has been cutting positions for contributors. So they've been scaling back on the money that they're paying out to all the different contributors, and then they go and hand her a $300,000 check. Let me get back to this. These comments from Peter Spiliakos, the former First Things columnist. He talks about Jen Psaki, right? She is there. So you've got Chuck Todd trying to make this argument that, look, you got a campaign flack commenting on your ex-employers that they are inherently compromised because, you know, Ronald McDaniel working for the RNC and they gaslighted us and all this. Because Jen Psaki never did that. No, of course not. The substantive argument is that the Trump campaign is illegitimate, as is anyone who is an unrepentant Trump supporter, right? That's what Chuck Todd is really saying. Former Republican flacks are welcome as long as they have become Biden supporters along the lines of the Bulwark crowd or the Lincoln Project crowd, right? As long as you go full Liz Cheney, and you know you never go full Liz Cheney, but you go full Liz Cheney or Adam Kinzinger, right? As long as you do that, then there's a place for you. But if you are an unrepentant Trump supporter, then no. That means that the two styles of campaign commentary that Chuck Todd wants, are either outright pro-Biden partisanship or perplexed sociological commentary in the manner of early 20th century National Geographic magazines covering a recently discovered Stone Age tribe. These are the kinds. Right, these are the options. This is how he wants the commentators to approach, essentially, Trump supporters, Republicans, right? Like, oh my gosh, look at this. Out in the wild, these Trumpkins are picking nits off each other's hair, eating them. No, like, seriously, this is what he wants. Todd cannot make this argument, though, explicitly, because he would be telling the audience that he wants his network's coverage to be an extension of one of the presidential campaigns. And he doesn't want to make that explicit. But that is, in fact, what he is arguing for. It's very obvious. So, Jen Psaki felt the need to comment on this, too. We'll take a listen to what she had to say up next. All right, that'll do it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. I could not do the show without your support and the support of the businesses that advertise on the podcast. So if you'd like, please support them too and tell them you heard it here. You can also become a patron at my Patreon page or go to thepetecallinershow.com. Again, thank you so much for listening, and don't break anything while I'm gone.